I want to start with reading a newspaper article, and it starts off with a question, and it said, can you lose your salvation once you've honestly committed your life to Jesus? A friend of mine says you can, and another says you can't. This bothers me because I sincerely believe in Jesus, but I'm afraid I'll do something wrong and maybe lose it all. Well, the answer they gave was, I don't doubt the sincerity of your friend who believes we can lose our salvation if we sin after we've given our lives to Christ, but I respectfully disagree. Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. He quotes John 6:37. Think of it this way. When a child is born, he becomes part of a family. Even if they rebel or do something wrong, they're still a member of that family, and nothing can ever end that relationship. And when we come to Christ, we become members of a new family, the family of God. We are now His children, and just as an earthly child will always be part of their family, so we always be part of Christ's family, even if we sin and turn away from Him for a time. He had two other things in here, but they might be for another sermonette down the road. Well, is it true that we cannot lose our salvation if we're baptized at one time and give our life to Jesus? His analogy of an earthly family really does not completely follow through. It is true you're always going to have the same parents, same siblings, but you could lose out on your inheritance. If we rebel, just don't follow the rules that your parents set forth. Your parents are not required to leave you anything. They could leave it all to charity if they choose, but some graciously leave it all so it can be divided among the children. Is that the same with God? If we don't obey His word, can we lose out on our salvation? Is He required to give anything to a rebellious convert who leaves His law? The way some see it, if you give your life to Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit, you can never lose it. God is then bound to give you an inheritance promised to the faithful, even if you become faithless. As we will see, the reasoning is not supported by Scripture. If you will turn to 1 Samuel 15, we'll start in verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both men and women, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So God appointed Saul king over Israel, gave him the Holy Spirit, but there were stipulations to the attack. He was to utterly destroy everything. And then it said that Saul gathered his people, over 200,000 of them, and came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. In verse 6, then Saul said to the Kenites, go depart, go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to the children of Israel when you came up from Egypt. So the Kenites departed. Then in verse 7 it says, Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce those names. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people on the edge of the sword. So it sounds like he's doing what God said. In verse 9, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatling, the lambs, and all that was good, and was unwilling and were unwillingly to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. So he did not do everything that God had said. And in verse 10 it says, now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So Samuel went to find Saul, and in verse 13, and Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord, that I have performed the commandment of the Lord. So Saul thought he'd done what the Lord said. But Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen in my, which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought that from them of the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. In verse 17, so Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribe of Israel? And had not the Lord anointed you king over Israel? Now that the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do the evil in the sight of the Lord? So he made it pretty clear, so you'd think that Saul would understand that he'd messed up. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, and the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, and sacrificed to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, has the Lord, in verse 22, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better to sacrifice. And on down in verse 24 and 5 and 6, he finally does realize he done wrong, but he asked Samuel to forgive him. He didn't go to God and ask for forgiveness. Now, the outcome was that God rejected Saul as from king. And in the next chapter, in verse 14, we can find that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul because he did not obey. At one point, he was humble, little in his own eyes, but soon cared more about the people than what they thought than what God thought. So now let's look at another story in the New Testament. If you'll turn to Acts 5, and we'll start in verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, which he kept back a part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart with to lie, to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon those who had heard these things. And the young men came and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. In verse 7, it says, about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. And then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last, and they carried her out. So great fear came upon the church and upon all those who heard these things. So right there shows not obeying, it cost them their lives. And we can turn to one more chapter, Psalm 51. And verses 10 and 11, this is David speaking. And in verse 10 it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. So David, a man after God's own heart, knew he could become as Saul and lose God's Holy Spirit. He had witnessed the effects of what that did to King Saul. We've been anointed with oil, we've had the laying on of hands, and we've received the Holy Spirit and been set apart to be kings and priests. Just as Saul and Ananias and Sapphira were dishonest and faced the consequences, God is not a respecter of persons, and so he ignores a rebellious person who turns their backs on his law. God is aware of our heart, and he knows who is in a repentant attitude and who will make excuses to continue in their sins. He is not bound to uphold anyone who will not uphold his standards.